shadow?
No. Don't you dare let that little rat dog piss on my walkway again.
Ignore him, Prince. He has no idea who's doing that.
Well, it was one of you. Get out of here. You cannot use this road without a permit.
Have a nice day, sir.
You know, the other guys don't do this. The guys with the white trucks. How come it's always you brown guys? And I don't mean that racially.
I'm sorry I didn't get him here earlier.
The whole neighborhood is falling apart these days.
No, 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 stop! Oh, my God. Give me the keys.
Hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
Otto.
Otto?
O-T-T-O.
I'm Abby. O-T-T-O.
Got some new neighbors.
Hi.
Nedwood husband.
I brought you some food.
Okay. Bye.
Are you always this unfriendly?
I am not unfriendly.
Okay, you're not.
I don't have a license.
You don't have a driver's license? How old are you?
Clutch in and brake. Brake, the car is stopped. Don't hit the car. Brake, brake.
I almost hit the car.
It's all right. It's a hybrid. But it's all right. How did you get in here?
Girl! No, no, no. You are not taking over my bed.
I was wondering if you could help us out.
I'm not sure about this.
It's gonna be very fun.
How was it?
You did a good job.
You should pat yourself on the back. Well, it's
all right. Right. I have a cat.
Right. You think you have to do everything on your own? But guess what? No one can. Even if the sun
don't shine, oh, no. It's
all right. I'm Beppo!
Hi, Beppo!
You want to see a trick?
Yeah!
Could I borrow a coin?
What did you do?
Hurry back to the corner!
It was all the clown's fault.
All right, just out of curiosity, how many of you were able to watch A Man Called Otto? Yeah, and if you didn't, I will just blame myself because I forgot to announce it last week. I'm sorry. But we're not going to let that happen this week because I have the results of the vote on the Viewer's Choice movie for this year. How many of you voted for The Life of Walter Mitty? Congratulations, that's third place. The winner was Inside Out 2. So it looks like we get another animated movie. It is a great movie. I watched it at the drive-in last year, I think it was. Go ahead and check that out this week if you want to be prepared for next week. And then in the closing week will be a Labor Day weekend. James Schaefer is going to be using the movie Arrival with Amy Adams. Great movie. Forrest Whitaker, is that his name? Yeah, it's a good movie. And then Hawkeye, I don't know his real name. Jeremy Renner, is that it? Is that right? I know way too much pop trivia. Okay. Well, we are going to go ahead and open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, that's going to be where we'll find our key passage for this morning. Romans chapter 12. And as we continue in this series, I want you to remember that one of the skills that that we're trying to develop and that we want to develop as followers of Christ, and I think this kind of series gives us the opportunity to do this, is the ability to filter the cultural messages that we hear through our media through the grid of God's Word. And doing this allows us to celebrate what aligns with His truth, but it also allows us to graciously challenge what doesn't. And today's message is titled, Two Truths and a Lie. And I'm kind of bouncing back just a little bit here. I don't know if you need to bring my mids or lows down just a little bit, but that's good. You guys remember the old icebreaker, Two Truths and a Lie? You know, if you're not familiar with it, that's a party game where you would tell somebody three facts about you, two of which were true, and one which was patently untrue, and then everyone had to guess which is which. Okay, so who wants to go first? No, just kidding. We're not going to play that game this morning. But we're going to see two truths from God's Word, which I think were beautifully illustrated in this film. And we're also going to uncover one lie from our culture that's finding its way into a lot of conversations about love, including conversations within the church. So before we jump in, let's go ahead and ask God to guide us this morning. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in this place this morning. And God, I thank you... That our relationship with you was your idea first, that we were created to be in relationship with you. I thank you that that even as we live in a world that has been tainted and broken, that, God, you are drawing people to you, and you want to use your people, the church, your children, to in that effort. And I just think that requires us to be in the world. I remember how Jesus prayed for his disciples, not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would be with them in the world. And that's still the prayer that we want to pray as a church. So as we open your word, I just ask that you would quiet the noise of the world around us and help us to focus our hearts on your truth. Would you give us wisdom to discern what is good, courage to live it out, and compassion to love others the way that you have loved us? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read our passage this morning. Romans 12, I'm not going to have you stand because it's a little bit of a long one. I'm going to read verses 9 through 21. And in my Bible, I don't know about yours, but in my Bible, there's one of those sub little headings over this part of the passage, and it says love in action, which I think is a pretty good little heading. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people all who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The film A Man Called Otto is based on a Swedish novel and a Swedish film titled A Man Called Ove by what was his name? Something Frederick. Yeah, it's up there. I can't read. The writing's too small. Yeah, Frederick Bachman. That's a good Swedish name. Any of you guys read the book or see the movie? Oh, a few of you did. Okay. Was the movie any good? I've got too many books that I'm trying to read right now. So was the book worth the read? It was. That's a definite maybe. I'm going to go with the movie. But anyway, in the American version, it stars Tom Hanks as Otto Anderson. He's a grumpy widower whose life is interrupted by a persistent yet caring neighbor, Marisol Mendez, who is played, I just think, absolutely wonderfully by Mariana Trevino. And honestly, she is the hero of this story. There were several themes explored in this movie, but the two that we're going to focus on today are grief and suffering and the healing power of love. This was a very heavy film. The trailer doesn't bear that out because there's a lot of funny moments in the film, thank goodness, or it would be impossible to get through. But this was a heavy film, especially in how Otto attempts to deal with his grief. And I try to be very thoughtful in picking out the clips and dealing with the subject matter. But I do, if I do say something or show a clip that is triggering to you, please know that was not my heart or my intention. And I would gladly meet with you after the service if that would be helpful. But having said that, let's go ahead and meet Otto in our first clip.
Are you a frequent fever? Join our warm club with dating. You can use your damn good fever. Can I help you with that, sir?
You think I don't know how to cut rope?
No, it's just we usually do that for you.
Do you think I'm going to cut myself and bleed all over your floor and sue you?
No.
Then I don't need your help.
Have an excellent day.
Idiot.
Did you, find everything you're looking for today?
Yes.
Good. Let's see here. Your total is $3.47.
You charged me for 6 feet of rope.
Oh, yes. It's 99 cents a yard.
I didn't get 2 yards. I got 5 feet.
We don't charge by the foot. We charge by the yard.
99 cents a yard is 33 cents a foot times five. That's 165. You charged me $1.98.
You're good at math. No, I know, but I can't put it into the computer the way that you just said.
What the hell kind of computer can't do simple math? Could I speak to your manager?
Is that lunch?
Lunch. All anyone cares about these days is lunch. Is there anyone else in charge?
You want the assistant manager?
Yes, I'd like the assistant manager.
Okay. Hey, Taylor? Taylor, the front register.
What's up?
Oh, hey, Taylor.
This is the assistant manager? How old is she? Shouldn't you be in gym class?
Sorry, what?
Here, I got some change. Let me cover that extra 33 cents for you.
Sir, I do not want your 33 cents. And this is not about 33 cents. This is about the fact that I got 5 feet of rope because I want 5 feet of rope, and I shouldn't have to pay for 6 feet of rope if I don't want 6 feet.
Did you want another foot of rope?
Otto Anderson, he doesn't hate the world. He just hates the idiots that are ruining it, which, as far as he is concerned, is pretty much everyone these days. At first, he seems like just the typical grumpy old man trope that's commonplace in Hollywood films, often used just to get a laugh. But it doesn't take very long before you realize that there's a reason that Otto is such a curmudgeon. Otto Anderson is grieving. And he has set up camp in his grief and in his suffering. And my guess is that some of you in this room know what that's like. 7 months earlier, Otto's wife, Sonia, had passed away from cancer. And he's decided that without her, life isn't worth living. So he purchased 5 feet of rope from the Busy Beaver because 5 feet is all he needs to make a noose and hang it from his living room ceiling. But before he can go through with it, he's interrupted by the arrival of new neighbors and their struggle to park their small moving trailer. Motivated more out of frustration than friendliness, Otto steps in to help and park their trailer. What he doesn't know is that the moment this little moment of neighborliness opens the door for his new neighbor, Marisol, to repay the favor by loving him when he least expects it. So let's watch our next clip.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Otto, right? Yes?
Otto.
Yeah, that's what I said. No? Okay, okay. What did I say?
It doesn't matter what you said. Otto, O-T-T-O.
Ah, Otto.
Otto.
Oh, Otto. Oh, okay, so it's the same forward that is backwards. No, it's
Otto. Otto.
It's Otto. Mm-hmm. It's just you don't hear that name Otto. Very often.
Uh-huh. I do.
Okay. If we're interrupting, we can always come back.
What is it you want?
I brought you some food.
Why?
Because you looked hungry.
Yeah, that's why we go so well together. She loves to cook and I like to eat everything.
Anyway, we just we wanted to properly introduce ourselves because, you know, we're going to be neighbors and everything, so. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
My name is Marisol.
And I'm Tommy.
Otto.
Are you always this unfriendly?
I'm not unfriendly.
I'd say you're a little unfriendly.
I'm not unfriendly.
You're un poquito
sick. I am not.
No? Okay, you're not. No, no, no. You're not unfriendly. Every word you say is like a warm cuddle. Enjoy it.
What is it?
It's, be careful with the salsa, please. It's pollo con mole. It's really good.
On at least two different occasions in the Gospels, Jesus was asked which commandment in the scripture is the greatest. And his answer each time was the same. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Jesus said that loving our neighbor was akin to loving God. And when he was asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan, revealing that a neighbor is anyone who is in need of assistance. Whether it's physical, emotional, financial, or spiritual, if you see someone in need, they are your neighbor, and you are to love them as yourself. In doing so, you are literally loving God. And throughout this film, Marisol models this beautifully. Otto insults her, he mocks her, he pushes her away, and yet she keeps showing up with food and help and kindness. Otto, in case you hadn't picked up on it yet, is not a very good neighbor. But Jesus doesn't say love your neighbor if they're lovable. He didn't say love your neighbor as long as you agree on their politics or their lifestyle. He just said love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly what Paul picks up on in our key passage today in Romans 12 when he says that love must be sincere. In the movie, Marisol doesn't love Otto because he deserves it. She loves him because he's her neighbor. And our neighbors are first and foremost people who are created in the image of God and deserving of dignity. That's why Jesus made the hero of the parable the Samaritan. Because he knew that his fellow Jews held Samaritans in contempt. And likewise, the Apostle Paul suggests that even our enemies can be our neighbors. In Romans 12:20, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not overcome evil, or do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Think about that for a moment. Now, some of you in here, if you're like me, you probably picked up on the end of verse 20 where Paul quotes Proverbs 25 saying that when you love your enemy, it's like heaping burning coals on their head. And that's cool and all, but that's not really supposed to be our motivation, I don't think. I just think we're supposed to love our neighbors and our enemies, even if they're idiots. And that's exactly what Marisol does. She continues to love. And eventually, Otto begins to crack. He starts to see Marisol differently. Her kindness, her genuine interest in him, her persistence begins to soften his heart. Let's go ahead and watch that next clip.
These are semlors. Swedish eclairs.
Oh.
A little messy. But let's try with your finger.
Mm-hmm. How did you find this place?
This was Sonia's place. I used to come here every Saturday at 1.
And then what?
Go home at 2. I'd wash and wax a car, and she would grade her papers and cook and spend the rest of the day reading.
What kind of books?
Her books. I tried to read some of them, but I'm not into books. Her friend said that we were like night and day. My life was black and white before I met Sonia. She was the color.
I would have liked her.
She was a force of nature. She convinced the school to start up a special program for the kids that needed extra help. A lot of kids had problems at home or social anxieties. But by the time Sonia was done with them, they were reciting Shakespeare. I ran into one of her students this the other day. A kid named Malcolm. You need more cream.
Okay.
Persistence helps Otto step out of his self-imposed isolation and grief. You know, one of the things that I've learned about grief is, and grief and suffering, is that they are real, they are natural, and they are necessary. Jesus told his disciples, in this life, you will have trouble. As Christians, we are not exempt from trials, from loss. We are not exempt from grief and suffering, but we have a hope that can carry us through those difficult seasons of life. Sometimes, however, we lose sight of that hope, and we need the help of others to remind us and show us what our hope looks like. And we can all be a Marisol in someone's life. We can all be a good Samaritan, but we have to be willing to be present. We have to be willing to risk. Being present in the life of someone who is in grief, who is grieving, who is suffering, is not an easy task sometimes. But it's an important task, and it is a godly task. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 12:15 to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn. And this is why community is so important in the body of Christ. But we have to remember that our job is not to help people get over their grief, but to be willing to walk with them through their grief and their suffering. And if you don't know what I mean by that, think about this for a moment. If you've ever been with a close friend or family member, and they were going through a season of grief and pain, wasn't there at least something inside of you that was just like, I just wish that they could be back to them old selves because it would be a lot easier for me? I mean, I think that, like, you're like, no, Pastor Matt, that sounds very selfish. That sounds like you. And it is like me a little bit. I think we all know that feeling, but I think also with maturity comes the idea that, like, this isn't about me. Like, that I need to be present for this person in this time. And we grow in those times. And this is what Marisol has been doing for Otto. Because Otto's been so focused on his own suffering that he's become oblivious to the suffering of others. And in the next scene, he finally begins to see others through the lens of compassion. And he begins to move from being helped to helping someone else. So let's watch that clip.
What was that noise?
The generator blew and the power is out. What do you want? It's freezing.
I was hoping you might let me crash on your couch for the night.
This is not a hotel.
No. I'm sorry.
Why can't you go home?
My dad kicked me out.
There's a sofa you can use. Don't go into the dining room. The ceiling needs repair. It's upstairs in Sonia's old study. So why did he kick you out? Because you're Malcolm now?
Yeah, because I'm Malcolm. Because I dress like this. I read too much. I don't like sports. Take it back. He's embarrassed because I'm trans.
And he's an idiot.
One of the taglines in the trailer for this film says, discover what can happen when you let life in. That's a nice segue to this second truth, that when you love and care for others, you don't just bless them, you also breathe life into yourself. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs 11:25. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That's why ministries like Grief Share, if you're familiar with that, not only acknowledge the importance of others pouring into us when we are suffering, but they also emphasize that our journey to healing will not be complete until we move from receiving help to giving help. Otto opening up his home to Malcolm is a beautiful moment in this film, and I loved it. But it's also the place where this movie leans into a subtle cultural lie. And that is the idea that if you really love someone, you must affirm everything they believe or choose. You want to go to that slide for me there, Paul? Love is not the same as agreement. And disagreeing with someone's beliefs or ideology doesn't equal hate. Jesus modeled this again and again and again. He shared meals with tax collectors. He gave dignity to the Samaritan woman at the well. He prayed for those who crucified him. And then there's the woman caught in adultery in John 8. He saved her from condemnation because he loved her. But he also said to her, "Go and sin no more," because he loved her. Otto welcoming Malcolm into his home is a good reminder of the importance of kindness and compassion and hospitality, but this is where we need to pivot, church, because hospitality and love do not require us to affirm every belief or lifestyle. We can serve, we can care for, we can protect someone without endorsing everything that they do. This is the balance of grace and truth that we see in Christ. Our culture says, if you disagree with me, you hate me. But the gospel says, I can disagree with you and even lay down my life for you because Jesus did that for me. And that's the kind of love that we are called to show. All right. I want to take a little breath. I'm doing really good today on time, just so you guys know. Pride comes before the fall. But this next clip is really just to give us a chance to come up for air before we watch the last clip and wrap this up. So enjoy this.
Ms. Mendez?
I'm Dr. Ellis. Mr. Anderson listed you as next of kin.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Your uncle had a close call. Has he spoken to you about his condition?
No, not really.
It's called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Basically, his heart is too big.
Too big?
No, sorry. Okay. Perdón. Ay, yo Tom.
You're really bad at dying. You know that?
You're really bad at dying. She doesn't know the half of it. All right. I love that clip. And I like how the film tried to handle a really difficult subject matter with some humor. Doesn't always work out that way in real life. But I love when the doctor comes in and says that he listed you as next of kin. And you can tell that was a surprise to her, but how meaningful that was to her. And we don't always get to see the results of the good things that we do, the investment that we make in other people. But it's always making a difference, whether you see it or not, whether somebody acknowledges it or not. Up until this point in the movie, or this point in this sermon, Otto has been a man defined by his grief, by his bitterness. But in the last scene that we're going to watch, Otto finally opens up to Marisol about everything that's happened in his life. And how it all has hardened him. So we're going to watch just one more clip, and I'll wrap this up.
We had never had a vacation. Sonia was 6 months pregnant, and she wanted to do something special before the baby came. So we booked a trip to Niagara Falls. On the way back, the bus crashed. There'd been a recall on the brake lines, but the company never had them fixed. Sonia was paralyzed, and we lost our son. After 3 months, she was finally able to come home. But they had started building the new condos and the community center and the walkways, none of which were designed for people in wheelchairs. The builders could have changed their plans, but the laws weren't in place back then, and they didn't care. The garden I did.
And we're putting in a new playground
I cared.
For everyone. But there are plenty of places.
And I was so angry.
What does that mean? People like her?
What does that mean? What do you mean? What does that mean? What are you trying to say?
Get off of me.
That's when they voted me out as head of the Homeowners Association. I wanted to obliterate them all. The builders and the realtors and the bus company. The bus driver. I never would have let it go. But for Sonia. Sonia said we had to keep living. That's what I did. I lived for Sonia. 6 months ago, she passed away. Cancer. Yeah. I was going to join her. That's why I had them disconnect my phone. But now I think she wants me to keep living. And I have things to do.
I was talking with my mom this week, and I asked her if she had a chance to finish watching the movie, because she had expressed some concerns for me earlier in the week when she had watched the first half of it. And I said, do you know what's going to happen? And she said, I think I do. And she said, he's going to kill himself. And I said, I don't think so. So I said to her the other night, I said, he didn't go through with it, did he? And she said, no. She said, but the film never tells us if he came to the Lord. And I said, that's not really on their radar in Hollywood. That's not really what they're trying to do with the film. But you know what the hardest part for me is in doing this series? There are so many great stories of redemption, of love, of compassion in our media and our culture. The hard part for me is that it always comes so close. It always comes so close to the truth. And there are parallels that we can see. We can see how things illustrate truths in God's word and the way that we're supposed to treat people according to Christ. And we can see this played out even on the screen in lives of those who, you know, may or may not. There's no reason to think that faith was a part of Otto's story. It was never revealed in the film. And yet, he experienced the power of the healing power of love from a neighbor. As you watch the film, he begins to serve others, and he experiences the power of blessing others. He experiences what it's like to be living in community. But he's never made aware of what you and I should be aware of. And that is that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I think one of the biggest challenges in our culture for the church is, I forget who said this. Maybe it was Brennan Manning. And I know that DC Talk used it in a song. But they said that the single greatest cause of atheism in the world is Christians who confess Jesus with their lips, but then walk away and deny him by their life. And I definitely wouldn't want to, like, put that on you to say, hey, you're not, like, professing Christ with your life. But I would challenge all of us to say, does my life profess the same belief that my lips profess? When Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment in the scriptures? Jesus said, love God with all you have, heart, soul, mind, strength. But every time he tied that directly to love your neighbor as yourself. Every time he said all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. And we have to come to a place where either we think that Jesus didn't quite get it right, or we say, I've got to live out my theology. If you say that you love the Lord, but you don't love the people who were created in his image, then you deceive yourself. It's easy to have a feeling of love for God in our heart. It's easy to have a sense of gratitude for what Christ has done for us on the cross. But it's much more difficult to live out that love for, in many ways, an unseen, unheard deity that you don't have a normal relationship with the way that you have horizontal relationships with one another. And the gift that we have is those horizontal relationships with one another. Because it's in that relationship, those relationships, where we receive love, the kind of love that we can say, if I can receive wonderful love from another human being, imagine the love that my Creator God has for me. And it's in those horizontal relationships where we say, God, I love you, but other than songs and words, I don't know how to express that to you, but as I love my neighbor, as I love my brothers and sisters, I'm expressing love to you. That is the truth that Hollywood rarely gets us to. And if you've had that experience where you walk away from a film and you've been moved and you feel like, I need to make changes in my life, it's because that film came close. It came really close to your DNA as an image bearer of God. It came so close that it moved your soul to a degree. And God has said, I have given you my spirit to live inside of you, to put you, to help push you that last yard, to put you over the top, to really be a reflection of me in your world by loving those around you. And I think there's no other thing that speaks more loudly to the world around us of the reality of God and the truth of the gospel than love. Love is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Love is the language of the gospel. And love is our highest calling. Amen? I'm going to have the team come up, and they're going to close us in song. And as they're coming, would you pray with me? Father, again, I thank you for your creativity and how we see that reflected in certain people as your image bearers. I thank you for the gift that you have put in people to tell stories well. I thank you for the gift that you have given to people to convey those stories through acting, through music, through art. I thank you that some of the people in this room are wired that way. But I thank you that when we intersect with those things in our life, that it reminds us of the truth, that we have been created and loved by a God who is good and a God who is great. And he has called us to be his representatives, to be his co-laborers for his kingdom, to show others the gospel by the way that we love them. Would you help us to embrace that calling and to grow in that? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sound that saved a wretch like me.
as you go away from this place today, as you leave this room, you are entering your mission field. I pray that you'll be reminded of the grace that was poured out for you, that you will have the ability to rejoice in all circumstances, that you'll be ever aware of the hope of the gospel, and that you would bring a light into a very dark world, that your kindness, compassion, hospitality, and love can be a part of the healing ministry of Christ. God bless you as you go, New Hope Church.